If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me to Psalm 16. I want to speak on the subject tonight, Your Excellency. Your Excellency. Psalm 16. I get a lot of my sermons in bed in the middle of the night, you know. And as I said before, that's one of the main things that a minister, pastor has to do. I mean, you can open the Bible anywhere and start preaching, or you can preach verse by verse, which is always good. But I've done some of that through the years, you know, in churches on Sunday night and Wednesday night. But if I'm not in something like that, I'm always just seeking to hear from the Lord what He wants me to share. So other night I was sometime in the middle of the night, and there was two messages that came to mind. I think the last time I preached here, I preached on the ruling class, and I really didn't get finished with that. I still got 3/4 of that left in here. So probably what we'll do is I'll preach this sermon, and we'll take a break, and y'all can come on back in, and I'll preach that after I get through the third. You say, well, you won't have no crowd. Everybody be gone. Well, you'd really be looking to see if you can see somebody then. But this was the one that the Lord impressed upon me the most for tonight. And I guess the other one will be for some other time. So, but anyway, I want to speak on the subject, Your Excellency. I want to talk about that we're to be excellent people in our lives. God has called us to be excellent. And, you know, and I was thinking as Brother Brett was up here, you know, everyone here right now probably is in some circumstance where you need faith, because we don't hardly live any time down here where we don't need faith again for something new. That's why the Lord said, the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. But the thing about faith is faith is substance. Faith is the actual finished product, as Brother Brett was talking about, being fully persuaded. And you don't ever start off in a new situation being fully persuaded. Anytime a new situation comes up, you have to start off again in that situation, determining if you're going to be able to have faith in that particular situation. Now, you know, we know tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. Because if you've been through a number of things before, it bolsters you to believe the Lord's going to certainly take care of the next thing. But it doesn't guarantee that you have faith for that particular thing. Faith is not a thing that you can sort of bundle up, you know, all together and say, well, I've got faith for everything. No, you've got to deal with, you know, specific faith for a specific area at a specific time of what you're dealing with. And some things you may come to a point of faith rather quick, and sometimes you may struggle and have difficulty coming to a point of faith. But I want to deal with this issue tonight, that we are to be excellent people in different areas and aspects of our life. The psalmist said, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. That's that effort of us being aggressive. And, you know, to put our trust in the Lord is something that we have to thrust ourselves forth into. Sister B, it's good to see you. That's what you was doing that day up there in the hospital after you fell and hurt yourself. I walked in to see Sister B, and she's just up there rebuking the devil about her fall up there. Amen. Amen. Yeah, because the Bible says, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, that seems paradoxical, don't it? You know, Jesus said of Lazarus, our friend Lazarus sleeps. And they couldn't quite understand it. And finally, Jesus said plainly, he's dead. But Jesus has a higher vocabulary than we do in the spirit realm. He said, he that lives and believes in me shall never die. Amen. So we're really not going to die. We just going to, move again. That won't be any problem. Thank the Lord. Preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. O my soul, you have said unto the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness extendeth not to thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent, in whom is all my delight. Now, if we're saved and know the Lord, God sees us all spiritually born again as his children, as being excellent. But there's different categories. There's different rankings. There's different positionings inside the kingdom once we get saved. Matter of fact, Paul said over, I believe it's in Ephesians chapter 4, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Jesus Christ. So how much of the measure of the gift of Jesus is given to us is dependent upon how much grace we receive, and we only can receive again that grace by faith. So unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Jesus Christ. How much of Jesus you have in your life. How much of the measure of Christ's authority, Christ's rule, Christ's dominion you have in your life. That's how much grace you have in your life. And so he said, there's this special category. He said to the saints that are in the earth, that's you and I. We don't have to be made saints like the Vatican, make saints like recently they, what's the word, trying to think of their official word that the College of Cardinals gets together and they decide if somebody is met the qualifications to be a saint. What? Okay. I can't think of the word right now. But anyway, if they've really lifted up that high standard, had some miracles in their life performed and different things, they may, canonization, that's the word. They're canonized and declared to be saints, as Mother Teresa recently was canonized by the Catholic Church. But that's not the biblical definition. Once you get saved, you are a saint. That means you're a set-apart person for God. That's what the word means, saint. You're set apart for God. Now, we don't always live saintly all the time, do we? But we're called upon not only to recognize that we are saints, but to live saintly in our lives. And then the Lord says, here to the excellent in whom is all my delight. God wants us to have an excellent attitude in our heart, and he wants us to develop our life into something excellent in each and every area. And I can tell you this, certainly you all know it. If you're going to develop different areas of your life into excellence, then it's like building walls. And it's like when they went back in the days of Nehemiah and Ezra and Nehemiah, and they started rebuilding the walls. You don't get to have your walls automatically built. Now, if you come up in a godly family with godly training and all that, you might have an advantage, but it's no guarantee, because each individual person has to develop their own faith. Each individual person has to decide, what kind of life am I going to have? Am I going to have an excellent outlook on life? Now, in Psalm 8, it says, verse 1, and then the last verse of that chapter, it says, O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. If God's name is excellent and we're God's children, then God wants us to have an excellent attitude in our life. He wants us to have the ideology of excellence in our heart. That's the kind of children God created. God is excellent. When God created man, placed him in the Garden of Eden, he placed him in an excellent environment. It was a perfect environment. When God calls us home to heaven, we're going to be in the most excellent place that God has ever created. The only problem we have is between what started in the Garden of Eden and what's going to transpire when we get to heaven is this journey we've got to walk through in this fallen earth. But God still says, the people that I have my greatest delight in, the people that I really delight in, are the people, it says, the excellent. That's where my delight is. So we want to just see what that means a little bit. What does the word excellent mean? Well, we could say it means to succeed. It means to accomplish, to achieve, to fulfill, to be fruitful, to be productive. To accomplish the things that God intends for us to in our life. And as I was saying, if you're going to develop an area of your life, you have to build that area. That area has to be built. Now the Lord said to Peter, he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we quote that verse and we say it by heart. We know what it says. But one of the key words in that verse is, I will build my church. The Bible says that you and I are God's building. We're God's husbandry. The word husbandry means that we're his field that he's cultivating. And so if we're God's building, then God is seeking to build various areas into our life that he wants them to be excellent. But every area that you seek to build with God, you have to build it by faith. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Amen? And so God wants us to have that attitude because he has given us a covenant of excellence. We've been called to glory and virtue, the Bible says. That's our calling. And there is no other covenant that God has other than a covenant of excellence. So we have to make that commitment. Now, some people, they may do well in one area of their life, and God, he knows he can't develop them all at one time. Amen. But they may just drag around about other areas of their life and just let them go down the drain and not really zero in on those areas of their life. But God will try to bring you into area after area of your life where he wants you to have that excellent spirit in your life to say, I can achieve, I can succeed, I can be an example, I can fulfill what God called me to in this area of my life. Amen? God said that's where his delight is. It's in the excellent, in whom is all of his delight. So there's a course that you and I have to take to excellence. Now the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 12, when the Lord was talking to the church, he said, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Amen. So God called that excelling. When we come together, we seek to build each other up, to encourage each other, to get each other to go into the areas that they need to for the Lord. And so that course of excellence, God even tells us how we have to think. Amen? Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Familiar passage of Scripture. Finally, brethren, now don't get carried away because I'm not finishing up yet. Now, he covers a lot of areas here. Whatsoever things are true. So that means we can't be, you know, shading the truth. We can't be telling little white lies, as we call them. Whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are honest. And those two almost parallel each other. I don't know a great deal of difference, but all of these can be problem areas for Christian believers. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. You may be going along just doing really well, and all of a sudden an impure thought comes into your mind. And the devil will try to bring condemnation with that and say, well, you know, you're thinking that these impure thoughts. Well, see, as long as we don't accept the devil's thoughts, we don't have to take any condemnation over that. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. Now, God gives us a list here, and he says, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So he tells us right here, we have to be able to control our thinking. We have to be able to determine our thinking, and we do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. We don't do any of this by our own strength, as we've been hearing Brother Jerry talk about, Brother Brett referring to. The Bible says, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the deeds of the Spirit, but mortify the flesh, through the Spirit you shall live. Now that can work in the realm of religion just like anywhere else. People can think, well, I'm going to live for God and I'm going to serve God and I'm going to do the things of God. And they can be really, really trying and trying to do it. And it seems like the more they try, that the more beat down they get. And it seems like that they can't accomplish anything in their mind. They say, well, I'm trying to live for God. See, if you're trying to do it through fleshly effort, you've got to renounce all the flesh to accomplish the things of God. The Bible says, if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And then God tells us in Romans 6 and 7 and 8, how that Spirit operates to mortify the deeds of the body. Totally reversal to what a lot of people do. They try to get committed. They try to rededicate. They try to make promises and commitments that they won't do this anymore. And you might as well just forget that, because all your promises will always fail. The Lord knew, I believe it's in the passage Brother Jerry was referring to this past Sunday, in the King James Version it says, the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these two are contrary one to the other. Now here's the real part that you have to see. In the natural, this is writing to Christians, Paul said, you cannot do the things that you would. But I'm trying, Lord. I'm trying to do it. Well, quit trying. If you can't, you might as well quit. And acknowledge, Lord, I give up. I cannot do this. That's one of the first big steps, is to acknowledge that I've been trying to do this by my flesh. It's not going to be part flesh and part spirit. It's going to be, Lord, if this gets done in my life, if I overcome this sin, if I defeat the devil, if I win this victory, it's going to be totally you. And so therefore, I'm called upon to trust you to do it, and I'm to quit trying to do it, but you can't do it until I quit trying to do it. Now does that release me of all responsibility? No. The Spirit of God may, he may, you know, speak a certain word to you. You've got to do this, you've got to do that. And the Spirit of God directs you into a certain area. But you've got to be conscious all the time, I cannot do this thing on my own. And so God has called us to think on these things. Now, think about some areas. The Bible says two times in Daniel that Daniel was a man that was of an excellent spirit. And then in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27, let me turn and look there. You don't think I can quote this verse right now. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 27. He that hath knowledge spareth his words. You know, you're around people and you're sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you're going to say something, and all of a sudden the Spirit says, don't say that. And the Holy Spirit will just stop you right there on the spot a lot of times. But then the Holy Spirit also will say, you need to say this. That's the Lord guiding us and leading us by his giftings inside of our heart. But he says, a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Many, many traits that come into a person that has an excellent spirit. Brother Jerry mentioned Sunday, gentleness and these, the things, the fruit of the Spirit. When the Spirit is taking control, he begins to produce his fruit inside of us. And the more that fruit is produced, the more excellent our spirit is. And I think the more people we touch in our life. So God wants us to be excellent in all areas. In our mind, mentally, He wants us to be excellent morally. He wants us to be excellent in ministering to others. He wants us to be excellent in our marriages. He wants us to be motivated by excellent motives. He wants us to be excellent militantly. That is, we know how to fight against the enemy. Amen. We know how to use our authority. He wants us to be excellent monetarily. And on we could go. So you see how that your life, once you get saved, if you're walking and connecting with God, He's going to start you on this journey of seeing how many of these areas of your life you're willing to cooperate with Him in, how well-rounded, how much of your life you're willing to develop for the glory of God. And every area that you get developed, and God looks down and He sees, oh, the excellent. Oh, I delight in them. Look, I've called them at this point in their life to deal with this area of their life. I've called them to rise up and change this area of their life. And they're cooperating with me. And I want to bring them to a full place where this area is totally changed. Amen? I remember that the Lord spoke to Peter and He said, Satan has desired to have you that what? He may sift you as wheat. But He said, I have prayed for thee that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen the brethren. The word converted means change. Now you can go and talk to people about change, and you can tell them, there's some people out there, you know, they get into the Word, maybe they're young Christian, new Christian, and they get overly zealous, and they start talking about all these areas that really they've had no experience in with God. But the Lord told Peter, He said, when you are converted, when you've been changed, then you really have impact then yourself on strengthening the brethren because you've been changed. And so this is very, very important. In all of these areas of life, God wants us to become excellent. And it's not easy. It's not easy to develop an excellent marriage. Why do you think the devil fights marriage so much? God gave us marriage to be a blessing. But so many people end up in marriage unhappy and unfulfilled. And they just sort of give up. And so many couples, instead of growing together, they grow apart. If I understand anything about relationships, the Lord made it abundantly clear in Ephesians chapter 5 that marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. He said this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And He's given us all these instructions about how a woman is to respond to her husband, how a husband is to respond to his wife. If it plays that big a role in the work of God, if it's that important in God's sight, it's not only just for me to have a physical and emotional relationship with somebody and to have somebody in my life to have that blessing, then I've got to recognize I need to develop this area because this is one of God's primary ways upon the face of the earth of reflecting Christ and His church. And so becoming excellent is simply falling in line with what God wants for our life. And every area that we develop excellence in, God is up there cheering us and saying, I delight in them. Look at them. Look at what they're willing to go through. Look at the battle they're willing to face. Look at how much attention they have put upon this area of their life. Look at how long they've been praying about this in order to get this to change. In relationships, you're not supposed to grow apart. You're supposed to grow together. And so, this is so very, very important in all these areas. So, every area that you begin to develop excellence in, there's going to be a battle to subvert that area. Let's look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Now, I know David was talking sometimes about other people, but this is a picture of the devil, the enemy. He said, you shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall shall you be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his what? Cast him down from his excellency. Many people live haphazard lives. You have to be not passive, but aggressive if you want to develop an area of your life in faith. You have to rise up and determine, I will not allow this area of my life to stay in a state of shambles. I will not allow this area of my life to just go into a state of havoc and defeat. I'm going to rise up and I'm going to be aggressively fighting this battle to bring this area of my life into a place of excellence, because God delights in the excellent. They only consult. Now notice consultation here. This is the way the devil works. They consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. Yes? Satan, as Brother Brett was saying, he's the father of lies. So what does a father do? A father gives birth. Father's always trying to birth lies into your life. He said, they bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. So this is, I want you to see how excellence is subverted in people's lives. Can you look and think of areas in your life right now that are, and I'm not saying you can't take them all at one time, but areas that you just sort of give it into and said, well, that's just the way it is. And there's haphazardness and there's no aggressiveness on your part, and it's become passivity, and you've just sort of accepted that this is the way it's going to be, and there's not anything that can be done about it. That is a position of defeat. And you cannot allow yourself to begin to get in that kind of a position. Look over it. I love this passage. I don't know how many times when I fought against demons of terror, I went through my breakdowns, and after different people fight different things, and in those situations, the demons that I fought against so much was demons of terror. Now, if you've ever been into real deep, terrible oppression and depression, the devils that assault you are terroristic demons. They're inward terroristic demons. And if you've ever had much deep oppression and depression inside your gut and inside your body, where your hormones get out of kelter and everything gets out of kelter and you have no power to do anything anymore, and you know what that is? That is one of the most terrible feelings in all the world that I've ever experienced. I've seen times in my life I'd have much rather been in physical pain than I had to be in the inner pain that I was in. In the deep depths of your inner belly, not your spirit man. Your spirit man's still there, but the spirit man has been squelched and pushed down because the enemy has gotten an advantage. I don't know how many times I've stood on this verse and I came to realize the fullness of it. It says in Isaiah 54, verse 14, in righteousness you will be established. Now, in any area of your life, you can't be excellent until you're established. You have to become firm. You have to become solid. You have to become stable. You have to become rock solid, where you can't be bounced around or pushed around out of what God wants you to be and have. You have to, and you can only get there by that position of faith. The faith is a journey. You start by believing and you make that journey till you get that point of full persuasion. And I think this is the way it happens, honestly, and I may be wrong. I think Jesus presents us to the Father. He's watching us believing. He's watching. He's saying, Father, they're trusting in my finished work, and they're seeking to believe in me. They're seeking to trust me. God says, well, the Father says, let's assess the situation and see where they're at. See, now faith is substance. Faith is reality. Faith is like in hand. You have it. When you have faith, basically you have it. A lot of people try to call things faith that they're just hoping for. Faith and hoping for something is not the same thing. But anyway, they are assessing. God the Father's assessing. Jesus is presenting. And just think of all the records that God's got to go through tonight all around the world looking at people's faith and their believing. And finally, they come to a point of faith, and Jesus says, Father God, they have believed. They've trusted. And God looks and he says, yes, they have. I'm going to declare them justified. I'm going to declare them in right standing with their faith. And so then through Jesus and by the decree of the Father in heaven, he says, Holy Spirit, release my power in their life. And so the Holy Spirit comes and releases the power of God the Father, the justifying process through the work and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are all three uniquely involved in this faith process. So he said, in righteousness you will be established. Right standing. And righteousness can only come by faith. The only way you can become righteous in God's sight is by faith, not by the works of the law, but by faith. The only way you can come into right standing in an area of your life to where you become excellent is you got to get to that area of faith. And when you get to that area of faith, God says your life is blossoming. Your life is changing. You've become excellent. You've believed in me. Look at this person. Look at the testimony of what I've made them. They're excellent. I delight in them over this. Praise God. Now he said, notice what happens when he says in this area, now he's dealing here with an area of assault and attack, you will be far from oppression. Now we all get oppression attacks us sometimes, but the stronger we get, the more we can blast it away. The more faith we have that Jesus has totally conquered this oppression. It has no right in me. I'm not saying you won't ever take any medication. I'm not saying you won't have a period of time where you might have to have help like an arm in a sling to help your arm get better. But I am saying that you cannot become dependent. You cannot, look, if you're oppressed on the inside and beat down, don't accept the fact that you're just got to be that way. Don't let somebody hang something around your neck and name a certain thing on you and say, well, you're this, you can't ever think right, you're going to always be this way. I've seen it too many times since my breakdowns. I've worked with too many people, and people will get to a certain point they'll try to believe, but then something will drag them back into that oppression. That's demons. Every believer has a right to think right, to have emotions right. And you can't have good emotions unless you have good thoughts. And you can't have good thoughts when your emotions are running wild. They're tied together. They have to come together. Your thoughts have to defeat the enemy. But he said you'll be far from oppression. Oh, my time's about up here. He said you shall not fear. And here's the highest level. And from terror, for it shall not come near unto thee. Terror, there's that word terror. Many of you here have fought terrorists in your life. Terrorists of failure, terrorists that this won't work, I'm not a good parent, terrorists that, well, I can't have a good marriage, I can't have good relationships. Look, terrorists, I'm not as good as the other person. All those are lies of the devil. You know, you don't need to be like somebody else. The Bible says if you compare yourself among yourself, you're not wise. God put his fingerprint on you. God put his fingerprint on me. You don't need to be like somebody else. You need to praise God for who you are and thank God he made you you and never want to be somebody else. Amen. And then there's so many people out there that struggle with after they get saved. Because of things in their life, they're still trying to be accepted. They're still trying to make other feel good because they want other people to like them. The way you be accepted is you be who you are. You're already accepted in the beloved. So why don't you start saying, I'm accepted. I'm accepted. You can't put me down. You can't run me down. You can't make me a castaway. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm a unique person. God created me for his kingdom at such a time as this. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Rise up and be the person God made you to be. Glory to God. He said that terror will not come near. Now notice verse 15 said they will surely, they will gather together. This is the subversion of excellence. You're constantly being scrutinized every day by the devil. You're being scrutinized and he is, I say you're being strategized against. He's developing a strategy against you. He'll use physical, he'll use emotional, he'll use moral, he'll use money, he'll use anything to drag you down, to not be excellent and get you in his control because he wants to oppose, he wants to obstruct, he wants to obliterate the work of God in our lives. And then he wants to occupy. Come in and occupy. And people whose lives are undeveloped, people who are uncontesting the devil, people who are unempowered, people who are unenforced, they don't enforce the authority of God against the enemy, their life becomes just sort of manipulated by the enemy. But thank God he said, they'll gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for your sake. You've got to stay against and in the face of the devil until your faith. See, you can confess the word against the devil and be trembling inside all the time because you may not have real faith yet. But you've got to keep confessing that word and standing on that word until that trembling, that weakness, that fearfulness against the enemy has become strong. And now you don't tremble anymore. You're not afraid anymore. Why do you think the Lord said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid? It's up to you and me to get rid of this fear and being afraid. So the devil's always going to try to subvert our excellence. But who is the source of our excellence? Oh, it's God himself. I'm going to read about one other passage, and then I don't have time to. We know Jesus and God is the source of our excellence. But turn over right quick to Deuteronomy 33. And I like what Paul said after he got saved. Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God by faith, even the faith that is in Christ. See, all you need and I need is faith in his faith. His faith was perfect. We just need faith in his faith. Paul said the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Paul had that religion before, dead religion. But oh, now he wanted to be at one with Christ. I want to be that way. I want to be at one with my wife. I want to be at one with my kids. I want to be at one with my brothers and sisters. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Amen. And it goes on and says there, God commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Well, let's finish with this passage. I love this passage in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 26, there's none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rides upon the heaven in thy help and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. That's what God says you have to do and I have to do. Destroy the enemy. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. When you've destroyed the enemy, the fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy are you, O Israel. Who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. Wow. The Lord here is called a sword. An instrument of triumphant, victorious warfare is the Lord. When he goes before us and our faith is real, the enemy cannot stand. And your enemies will be found liars unto thee, and you will tread upon their high places. So I want to challenge you tonight. If you have gotten into a position in your life of passivity, allowing things to just sort of go, you know, half-hearted in your life and thinking, I can't ever really be an excellent person. You're already excellent in Christ, but you're going to have to rise up and become the excellent person that He created you to be. But if you've gotten in that state where you just don't seek to be excellent in your life in different areas, I want you to do it for the glory of God. I want you to have that attitude. So we're going to stand and be dismissed. But if you're here and you feel like you've been neglecting a spirit of excellence in your life, you feel like that you've just sort of settled for mediocrity and just getting by and just hoping somehow you can plod your way through this world, nothing seems to be working out too well for you, then if you want to lay back hold of that spirit of excellence, say, Lord, I know you delight in excellence, and I want to be that person. I want you to work in all the areas of my life. And you can start right where you are with His grace. Amen. So if you need to come after we dismiss here for prayer, we'll pray with you at that time. Praise the Lord. Let me just close. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you that you've called us to represent you in the earth. And God, how excellent is your name in all the earth, in all the earth. And Lord, in these bodies, in this building, in this earth tonight, we want your name to be excellent in us. We want you to manifest excellence in our lives, in our marriages, in our homes, in our minds, in our thoughts, in our emotions. Lord, we want you to manifest excellence in our ministry to others, realizing that you've called us to go out and touch the world. As you said, the songwriter said, light your world. Let the love of God shine through in everything you do. And wherever it may be, if only two or three, light your world. Lord, let us light our world. And make everyone here tonight have that spirit of excellence in their heart and be excited about who they are. And who you made them to be, regardless of what's happened in the past, let them be excited about that they're themselves. And you put your fingerprint upon their lives. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.